Days Are Erupted for November 18th, 2018. I'm Felipe Odinolfo.
I'm Brandon Parkins.
And I'm Chris Elogi.
And, we're coming at you with a skeleton crew.
A skeleton show, basically.
Yeah. Basically, we were supposed to do the Red Dead Redemption show, but Lee is sick, Danrib is not here, and we'll be getting a root canal shortly, so that's awesome.
Yeah, if you hear this high-pitched shriek coming out from the west, well, you know where it is, where it's coming from.
So we'll do our best and see what we can come up with. I mean, there were a few interesting news stories that did drop this week, so we'll chime in on those and what they imply. But apart from that, well, I've been playing some stuff, and, well, the only stuff that I've been pretty much playing this week is Tetris Effect, which is still fantastic. I saw one guy on Twitter. He said, I can't play Tetris Effect because the music was made by SJW Cucks.
Yeah, those guys are, those are like, it's one of those, it's like, well, I'm sure they'll notify their accountants.
It's like,
yeah, when you get offended by a Tetris game, I'm not sure really what's going on with you.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with you there. It's like, what is it like being stupid?
It's a cult, dude. That's exactly what it is. It's self-indulgent, and it's just sort of absorbed itself to a point that they just don't really, just the outside world just is sort of cut off.
Yeah.
It's like it's increasingly becoming the internet equivalent of like the Golar clan or like one of those isolated inbreeding communities that are out in the middle of the woods somewhere.
Yeah.
And eventually it's just going to shrink and it'll eventually just dissipate on its own. So
yeah. Well, it certainly is amusing to read their comments, at least. It's like, wow, that's a worldview I didn't know existed. So, yeah. But yeah, Tetris Effect is still fantastic. What else can I say about it? Yeah, still haven't beaten the journey mode, but I'm getting there.
What do you have? You got it on PC?
Yeah, it's PS4 exclusive.
All right. Well, then I need to get it then, because...
Yeah, it's definitely worth it. $40. And I expect that I'm going to be playing this game for just a long time to come. I mean, I've been waiting for years for a good Tetris game to come out, and now that it finally has, I can, play a good game of Tetris. It's nice when I've been playing for the past week since it came out, and I can feel my speed coming back. So it's like, yeah, hell yeah. So that's been me. How about you, dude?
Like I said last weekend, my primary game is Spyro Reignited. And it's, it's literally, okay, so I went to like sort of find out how they actually made this game. I actually didn't know this, but there's actually a reason why this game was essentially rebuilt from the ground up, and it's because the original assets for the original Spyro games were basically decayed, they were basically lost through time and neglect that it was basically impossible to get them. So what they did is Toys for Bob, that's the company that did the Reignited. Also the people I think that do Skylanders. They came up with this thing, they call it, I'm trying to remember what they call it. I think they call it Spyroscan or Spyrovision or some kind of program where they were able to go back and basically they replayed the original Spyro games on the PlayStation, and they were able to basically scan the inside of the game using this technology. So as they were playing the original, they were essentially getting like the build and everything for the original game, the areas and everything. And then they just went back and just rebuilt the assets. It's pretty neat. I've definitely noticed that, obviously the game looks incredible. I mean, it's a Pixar grade, You know, but it's like a Pixar grade platformer. It really is. And it's a ton of fun. But, and I've also noticed that there are definitely some things that have checked, that there's a little bit of censorship here and there. I guess it's mostly just because, you know, the times and the sort of essential, the standards have changed, because they've basically censored most instances of firearms that were in the original game.
Hmm.
I mean, cannons are still there, you know, like the cartoony cannons.
Yeah.
But stuff like the in a Nasty Norks world, where you first come up against the Nork commandos. In the original game, they had, like, assault rifles with, like, bayonets on them. Now they basically have, like, these cartoony Gatling guns that shoot pink goo. Or, like, how in the Dreamweavers world, where you had that one guy who had the cannon that acted as, like, a... that could, like, change the size of the various goofy bucktooth enemies so that they'd be big and then small and back and forth. In the original, it looked a lot more like a streamlined, like, Mauser cannon, and it had, like, a sniper scope on it. Now it's basically, like, a tube with, like, green crystals on either side. It's a bit more cartoony looking. But that's really only the actual, like, censorship I've been able to find, because, like, you know, like, the mooning Norks that you have in the second world, yeah, they're still there.
So,
and all their green bulbous ass glory, but
so butt cheeks good, firearms bad. Okay, that, this
well,
is,
I mean, that's weirdly that's sort of like the inverse of the second of the of America's version, where oh, we're cool with violence, but you show a nipple and it's an automatic R rating. So, yeah. But other than that, also yeah, I am still playing RDR2. Again, like we said, we were going to have the RDR2 show today, but time and health kind of conspired against us.
Yeah.
So that'll probably end up being the post-Thanksgiving show. That'll be the RDR show, I guess. Yeah,
probably.
But that's me. So, Chris, what about you?
Yeah, I've also been playing some more Red Dead Redemption 2 and finding some weird bugs in there.
Yeah, let's face it, a game that large, there's bound to be a bug or two you're going to run into.
Yeah, I tried to go sell my horse, the extra horse I had, off to the stable, and it would not take it.
Mm-hmm.
It would just claim that the stable's full.
Yeah.
So I stranded it in the middle of the forest.
Mm.
I didn't want to shoot it, so I found a way to strand it. And at least coming back to it yesterday, I can no longer find it, so it's gone off to live on a better place.
It went out to a farm upstate.
Yeah. Also had some weird instances where when I was bringing that horse back from the mission, it got run over by a horse carriage. Because it just stops in the middle of the road, and nobody else gives a shit about horses.
Yeah,
so it just ran over, and the horses on the carriage were stopped on top of the other horse. So yeah, that was nice of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And also just was coming out of a saloon, and this guy was just stuck in the floor, I guess. he was standing up, about waist up was above the floor, so I talked shit to him. And that eventually got him out. So yeah, rudeness does work.
Mm-hmm.
It's a viable tactic.
Mm.
But yeah, that's just some weird stuff I've been having issues with, but kind of just playing some more of it. I got to the part where I can do the deader stuff for the German guy.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up going up to Mary Linton's place and sort of doing the quest there where she wanted her brother brought back home. Because he went off to like a religious cult.
Yeah, the weird dudes that worship turtles. Yeah, those guys.
Salonians or whatever it is.
Salonians. I thought for sure those guys were going to be like Mormons or something, but...
Yeah, they're just about peace and whatnot, which I failed a few times because I've not had to chase people with a horse. Mm. So I did not know you just had to kind of keep mashing the X button over and over again.
Yeah.
To get one. I figured I'd do that enough to get up to speed and then hold X, and that would just keep him going, but he goes back down.
Mm.
It's like, oh, this guy is somehow just going a lot faster than my horse, but I eventually figured that out. And yeah, that's what else was I doing? I played some poker. I saved the drunk priest.
Yeah,
who's hanging around. Yeah, just kind of doing a lot of the early stuff where they're just introducing these various other aspects of the game. Which is. Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah.
I'm still not a huge fan of the controls. It just feels like molasses a lot of the time.
Yeah, there is that one thing. For some reason, I will admit, for one thing, they don't do as well a job explaining the control scheme as they probably should.
Yeah.
Because there's an awful lot of button combinations required. But I have noticed that there are ways you kind of learn to work around it.
Yeah, I finally figured out how to do the auto, like GPS stuff, but you have to go into cinematic mode while riding your horse. Then he just follows along the path.
Mm-hmm.
Though occasionally it bugs out and just stops.
Yeah. You do eventually do get fast travel. It's like it's one of the upgrades you can get for the camp. Problem is, it only works one way, so still...
I'm assuming it doesn't work for missions.
Well, I mean, you can still go to that general area.
But I mean, like, when you finish a mission, you have to ride your horse all...
Yeah, you have to go back. You have to actually manually ride back to camp.
That's where I just put the cinematic mode on, just set the controller down.
Yeah.
Wait for it to kind of get back on its
thing
own.
Is though, you kind of don't want to do that because you'll actually, random events do happen and you will occasionally come across people that need your help.
Yeah, you know, sometimes they seem like they're not worth what they want you to do.
Yeah.
Because I was driving up towards the Marilyn's brother's place and this woman is... yelling about being kidnapped by this guy on his horse.
Mm-hmm.
So I go over to follow them and start shooting at the guy. Just figure out, just solve this. And take a couple shots, and then this other guy I thought was going to do the wanted thing.
Mm-hmm.
But he's some weird priest that's like saying like the darkness is nearby when I'm walking over to him.
Yeah.
That sort of stuff. He's just like... kneeling on the ground, like, I killed the guy, and I guess she just took the horse with him. So I go, all right, I don't have to deal with that horse, but, I went and took out some of the O'Driscolls in the cabin when you get, Kiernan, sort of let him go show you where they're at. And I was starting to go loot the place, and I guess the cops got involved at some point.
Yeah.
And so, I could only loot to a little bit before I had to get out of there. Just lots of weird stuff with that game.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a game that I can just, like, jump into and, you know, play for a little bit and go. It's kind of requires an investment.
Yeah.
That's sometimes not something I want to do.
Yeah.
That's kind of the big thing I've been getting lately. It's just like, I could play it, but I also just want to, listen to a podcast or whatever, and I need a bit more involvement in that game than most normal games.
Mm-hmm.
That game's fine. I've also been playing more of the Spyro trilogy, doing some of the more stuff in that first area, trying to get all the gems and the skill points and all that. And, that game is a lot of fun still.
Mm.
And looks really good. plays really well. I think I'm currently on the one of the flying missions. We have to go around and take out all the has like collectibles of these like four different types, I think, that I need to go do in like all one run. So I'm working on that. But yeah, that game's a lot of fun. And unfortunately, it doesn't seem like they're going to be adding subtitles in an update. Mm-hmm. They basically put out a statement. I think Toys for Bob did this. Mm-hmm. They said, yeah, we evaluated this, and yeah, no. Mm-hmm. It's not really worth it. It's like it's trying to say it's not the standard. It's like, you know, games without subtitles is rare these days.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to, you know, those that do have it. So that game definitely stands out as like a game that should have gotten that extra work at some point. And it seems like now Activision's like, yeah, we don't want to put more money into this any more than they have to, especially because they're bringing it to, I think, PC and Switch sometime next year.
Yeah.
But you would think the success of the Crash trilogy would have said, hey, we should actually spring for this. Because I assume it's not millions of dollars to put subtitles in.
No. Yeah. It would take one of the programmers, you know, probably about a week to get it all in there. But, you know, they don't want to. This is Activision we're talking about here.
Yeah.
And it's like you want, you know, kids and adults that grew up playing this stuff to actually come back and play it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just alienating certain people that want the subtitles.
Mm. Yeah.
And, yeah, that's unfortunate. It's like the one black mark on that game.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's still a game I'm going to keep coming back to.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's nice that it's one of those games you can kind of just pop in for, you know, 20 minutes at a time, play a couple levels and get out without feeling like you didn't make any progress.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also been playing some more, or some NBA 2K19, which is, on the free weekend thing on the Xbox One.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I was checking that out a bit and doing the career mode a bit where I'm still in the prelude part of it where they didn't really have that on Xbox One, at least not without – it doesn't have achievements, so nobody really plays it ahead of time. So I'm playing the first few games there, and I went with a point guard for my guy, and it definitely does not – it's not the style of game that I want out of that.
Yeah.
Because point guard's more hands-on, whereas I like a guy that can kind of do a lot of rebounding and the dirty work kind of in the way the NBA works versus being like a Steph Curry or whatever. But it seems like the career mode is kind of more leaning towards the point guard stuff because your guy is sort of a rival of one of your former teammates who was also a point guard.
Mm.
And that's very much like the way they kind of intend it to be. Cause you get to a point where your Chinese team can play a group of NBA All-Stars and that guy is on there.
Mm-hmm.
So they intend for you to go up against him. And so, yeah, if you're anything but a point guard, it doesn't quite work story-wise the way they want to.
Yeah.
But also they definitely pull a lot of tricks in that stuff to get their story beats right, because when you're playing that NBA game, they need halftime to have the NBA guys up by 10. Because the cutscene afterwards, one of the characters mentions the score. And so they always pull me out for like large chunks of the first half to ensure that score happens. It's like, yeah, it doesn't really work if you prevent the player from being able to play.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the heavy handedness that I don't really like out of the story mode in NBA 2K, where it's like, hey, we need this to go a certain way, at least at this point in the game. So we're just going to have your guy taken out for no reason, even though you're doing well. And it's just really stupid. I'd rather they just get rid of the story and let you just play the damn game and see how it goes. And that's why I'm more of a fan of like MLB The Show's, which is more documentary style of story.
Yeah.
Where it lets the things happen and then kind of crafts things around that.
I do wonder how NBA Live 19 is this year, though. I think wondering if it's starting to catch up.
Yeah, I need to check that out because I should have the 10 hours from the EA Access demo. But it's also $20 on Black Friday, so that's one I might actually pick up.
Yeah.
But from what I've heard, it's a bit better from last year's, which is already pretty good. So it seems like it should be a very good game, especially because I think you can have a woman as your career mode character, which I definitely want to try out and see just how that works. Because I think that's probably just going to have you in a lot of more street games type stuff. But, yeah, that's been kind of it. Kind of just looking at some of these Black Friday deals and waiting for my $15 from the pre-order promotion on PSN to start looking at what I want to pick up. But, yeah, that's pretty much been it.
All right. So let's get to the few news stories that we do have this week.
All right.
First one we'll start with is Sony has decided they're not going to show up for E3 2019. No keynote, no booth.
Which, I mean, haven't they basically skipped out on the last couple of E3s?
Well, they were technically there, but, yeah, they didn't really have a whole heck of a lot to show. I mean, remember last year's E3, they had they did that weird... Yeah, that weird presentation where they had reporters like moving three times during the whole thing. So it was that was a mess. But yeah, them not showing up this year, not paying for booth space and all that does have kind of implications, I would say. Because we have had the rumors of PS5 that are going to happen. Well, we know PS5 is going to happen eventually. If they're not planning on showing at E3, then maybe PS5 is a little further out than we thought.
It's possible. It also could be possible that maybe just they don't consider E3 to really be relevant anymore. I mean, it used to be that E3 was like the only game in town, but now we've got like a bunch of different. You know, we've got that, we got Tokyo Game Show, we got PAX, you know, all these different venues now.
Yeah, that, and, you know, Gamescom is getting bigger, so...
Yeah. Also, because of the internet, you can kind of do these big events without really needing a massive space like that.
Yeah, I mean, you can do directs like what Nintendo does. But, yeah, so it's strange, not all that unsurprising. And I have a feeling E3's days are probably numbered at this point.
Yeah. We do know, however, that Microsoft's definitely going to be there. In fact, they're doubling down on it.
Yeah, well, Microsoft has the advantage of owning a theater. So, it doesn't cost them anything.
Yeah, they were kind of testing the waters last year. We have an event space outside of E3. So that could have gone either way, but yeah, it'll be interesting. I imagine Sony just doesn't have new stuff to announce because
that's
a lot of their studios are probably working on PS5 stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, we could show the same few titles we have, but is that really worth the millions of dollars to set up a new space and all this for that?
Yeah. Also, you know, some of, like, the big mainstays they've been putting out on E3 are actually coming out next year. So, you know, I mean, Kingdom Hearts is coming out in February, and that game's been pretty much in production for, like, what, a decade or so?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
There's that. You got Anthem coming out. You got Days Gone should probably be out by E3. They wouldn't really have a whole heck of a lot to show. Ghost of Tsushima, I don't expect to be out quite yet. I think that's still probably at least a year away.
Yeah, Sucker Punch has been working on that thing for a few years now. So
yeah.
But holy shit, does it look good.
Oh, it looks amazing. I want to play it so bad.
Yeah. I should also point out that at this point, yeah, EA doesn't actually pay for booth space at E3. They have their own show, so it's like...
They just pawn off their games to the platform holders.
Yeah.
Hey, here's a couple copies of Battlefield for the Microsoft booth or whatever, and they'll send somebody over.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
So yeah, that's... E3, probably, in at least in its current form, probably not going to be around too much longer. So.
Yeah, they've been trying to straddle the line between like a PAX and an E3, and I don't know if they're finding a great balance point there.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you have to, like, they could have, at least part of it, have like press days and the, public days. That would have helped out a lot.
Yeah, that's really what they needed to do.
So otherwise, it's like a weird press show where there's tons of merchandise and stuff like that that most of the media is not really interested in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we haven't gotten the announcement on how this year's is going to work yet, so they maybe make changes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we'll wait and see. So let's see, what else we got here? Oh yeah, Reggie Fils-Aimé is saying, yeah, don't expect an N64 classic anytime soon, because we're not doing one.
Wasn't that similar to what they said after the NES came out and people were asking for a SNES classic?
Yeah, it's pretty much exactly the same thing they said.
Yeah. So this pretty much means that an N64 classic will probably be coming out in the next couple of years.
I wouldn't expect it this year. Maybe, well, this year is almost over, so
yeah,
don't expect that. I would guess if they're gonna do it, they'll probably do it close to holiday 2019.
Mm-hmm.
It would make more sense there because Smash will be out, so they're not competing with that. What else will they have? Well, whatever they announce during the course of 2019 on the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, it's weird. It's probably totally going to happen. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah, and it's now of course comes the guessing game of like what games they'll put on there.
Yeah, well, Super Mario 64 is a given.
Will it be the original one or the one they put on the 3DS? Probably the original one.
Yeah, if they're smart, they'll do the original one.
Let's see, there's that Star Fox 64. Probably Wave Race 64.
Yeah,
I wouldn't
Wave
be surprised.
Race 64, yeah.
I imagine this list would probably be a lot easier than the NES or Super Nintendo because there's not too much third-party stuff.
Yeah, Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask would probably be on there.
Mario Kart.
Banjo-Kazooie in 1 and 2.
I don't know. Do they even have the rights for that name for those anymore?
That's
all
true.
Rare.
Yeah,
that's Rare. There goes a bunch of Rare games. So,
yeah, that said, Rare
bonus
probably
though, Donkey Kong 64.
Yeah.
yeah. No GoldenEye either, or Perfect Dark. So, yeah, well, GoldenEye, there's like all kinds of licensing issues to get that one.
Honestly, I don't even want to play it anymore anyway. That game has not aged well.
Perfect Dark, weird bit of trivia. Perfect Dark is one of the first games, I think one of the only ones on the N64 that actually has proper widescreen support.
Yep.
And that was a long-ass time ago.
Oh, yeah.
So, what else would you put on there? Well, Excitebike 64. Nintendo could very literally... fill an N64 classic with just first-party titles, and it would be totally fine.
Pretty much, yeah. Pokemon Snap would probably go on there.
Yeah, I want that.
Yeah.
We'll wait and see. And expect it to be announced probably in summer of 2019. So that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so in other news, Cliff Bleszinski is looking to quit the game business again.
Yeah, so everybody knows his company, Boss Key, had to shut down after putting out two massive bombs quite pretty much in succession of each other. One was Lawbreakers, which was the let's just call it. It was basically an Overwatch ripoff.
Yeah.
And the other was that god awful Fortnite clone that they did.
Yeah, Rotten Lights.
Mm-hmm.
Which didn't actually ever finish.
Yeah, so, it technically never came out officially. It just
was early access, and it just died.
Yeah. But you know, so now people are trying to who kind of put their money into both of those are kind of trying to get their money back.
Mm-hmm.
And Cliff basically went on, I guess it's Facebook, where he's basically talking about, he's like, look, man, I didn't take a salary for like 2 years. Is this Facebook? No, I think, is this either, no, this is Twitter. And people are like, look, dude, you got all this money. And it's like, where did all the money go? You know, because they were wanting to get their refunds for Lawbreakers and such. And he basically said, all that money went to the employees paying for their health care, their 401ks. Even for months after the studio folded, so they could care for their families. I didn't take a salary myself for 2 years. I get you're sad, but God, this kind of shit is another reason I am never making another game.
Hmm.
For the record, I'm pretty sure he said this kind of shit before. But unfortunately, the thing with Cliff Bleszinski is he's part of that generation of FPS developers that had a great deal of talent but had an ego that kind of outsized it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's absolutely, the dude is basically one of the reasons we have Unreal. You know, he's the reason we have Gears of War.
Mm.
You know, two of the biggest franchises in you know, early 2000s gaming.
Mm.
But the dude's, you know, he became so much of like a face, or like a, you know, like the spokesperson for whatever company he's working with. His ego started basically, his ego got to the point where it was writing checks his body couldn't cash. So,
oh, gee, haven't we seen this before?
Yeah. Also, he just really misread the market, to be honest, and was not particularly nice to people who questioned whether or not this was the right time to do this.
Yeah.
So basically, yeah, it's shades of John Romero.
Yep.
Circa late 90s.
Yeah, circa late 90s, and, well, the only good thing about this is, you know, John Romero eventually did get that maturity it's possible with a couple of years, Cliff Bleszinski will, you know, come to terms with it and be able to start making games again, so.
In the meantime, you know, the dude's, like, rolling in money, so yeah, he doesn't.
He's not hurting.
Yeah.
He might not have taken a salary for 2 years, but he wasn't starving, so.
No.
Yeah.
All right.
So, all right. So what else have we got? Okay, exciting news. Remember last year at E3 when EA showed off that god-awful demo of Command & Conquer Rivals and everybody said, fuck you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So now EA has confirmed that they're actually working on a 4K remaster of the original Command & Conquer.
All right.
So knowing EA, they'll probably shove loot boxes and microtransactions into it, but at least they're still working on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very little information on what it's actually going to be, when it's going to come out, but at least this is motion in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think you could honestly, you know, well, I won't say. I don't say that you couldn't do it because EA is known to, you know, severely change the balance of their games to accommodate microtransactions and stuff. So I wouldn't put it past them. But you know, the original CNC was almost as close to perfect as you could get. So don't fuck it up. It's basically what
that's is this the Tiberium storyline?
Yeah, the first of the Tiberiums.
All right. So yeah. Kane does live in death. Okay.
Yeah. So, Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what this comes.
Mm-hmm.
PC players have been waiting for something like this for years, and now it's up to EA to not fuck it up.
Translation, EA will totally fuck it up.
We'll totally fuck it up. Yeah, we would know this is happening. Anyways. So in follow-ons to what we talked about earlier with Sony bowing out, apparently there's a diskless version of the Xbox One S that's being rumored to be in the pipeline.
Which, let's be honest, we've kind of seen something like this coming.
It makes sense.
Yeah. Now that digital sales are fast catching up to, and in some cases outdoing physical sales. Yeah.
The whole install process on Xbox One is not great for physical.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, so I only have like one disc.
Yeah. It's like, nope, don't want to do that again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, yeah, this will probably also help Microsoft bring the cost of that system down and allow them to make a smaller system with probably better cooling, because mm-hmm. that disk doesn't have to be spinning around all the air. And, yeah, it makes a whole lot of sense. But if you're, you know, if you're one of the people who bought an Xbox One S to be a 4K Blu-ray player, then, you know, this is not the system for you.
Yeah.
Naturally. So, yeah.
And kind of tied to that is they're looking at a conversion program
mm-hmm.
from discs to digital versions.
Yeah.
But that it's likely tied to at least Microsoft Store for the time being.
Yeah.
Which I was looking like what the closest one is here, and it's like 119 miles away. It's like, yeah, that's not happening.
No.
Nope.
The only way that works is if you can, you know, like, just box up your discs and send it to them, and then, you know, they'll add it to your account.
Yeah.
It's the only way that makes any sense.
And mm-hmm. I assume you're not going to be converting these for free.
No.
Nope.
I assume they'll give you, like, a nice, you know, 20% discount on the game if you want to convert it.
Mm. I don't know. If they're going to... It's reasonably, it would make, if you send them the disc and they keep it, then yeah, then, you know, a free conversion probably does make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It would be great for Goodwill anyway.
Yeah.
Not the store, for just Goodwill. Yeah. Yeah, we will wait and see how this one goes. But
I think if they're going to go that route, they should also have a way to convert, do that locally. If you have like an Xbox One S or X.
Yeah.
Put in, hey, here's, you know, 20% off, and you can do whatever you want with the disc.
Yeah.
Just see if people are like, oh, then you just pass it around to your friends, like, yeah, you're still paying for the damn game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that that's going on. Eventually they'll do I'm sure they'll do a discless X. So, meh.
Yeah.
This is a good opportunity for stores like, you know, Walmart and GameStop probably wouldn't touch this with a 10-foot pole. I mean, the conversion program anyway, because that kind of puts them out of business.
Yep.
So
they would at least get the disc.
Yeah,
so they would get the sell
disc that they could sell back. So that's possible.
Or is it going to Microsoft and then probably getting resold to some reseller?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Someone that wants those sort of huge orders for warehouses or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You never know. So, yeah, we'll see where that goes. Next up, we kind of talked about this briefly on Let's Weekend, but it's fair to repeat now. There is a PC Classic being developed.
And like you, probably we all thought that this was a troll at first, but
yeah.
Nope, it is 100% real.
Yeah. You know, what's there to say about this? It's a little miniature console with a system on a chip that looks like a vintage 90s PC in a beige-ass case.
Mm-hmm.
Got a couple of USB ports in the front for game pads, SD card slot.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to have some pre-built games, and they're looking at maybe adding some via SD card at some point. So.
Yep.
Right now, I think their main focus is on actually getting those licenses secured.
Yep.
So, because they want this all to be, like, you know, legal and stuff. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. He said they're an arcade house, you know, they make arcade games.
Yep.
So, you know, they're no strangers to actual music licensing and software licensing, so...
Yeah.
They could probably pull it off. Whether they can pull it off at the $99 price tag that they're shooting for is
another story matter. Entirely.
Yeah. Because... Yeah, I like this. I want this to succeed. PCs are mm-hmm. great. Yeah.
Yeah, but will it have Ski Free on it?
Yeah.
I'm sure you will be at it.
Yeah, but as far as like what we believe is going to be, or at least what they've told us is probably going to show up on this, they're leaning really towards like id Software and Epic.
Yeah.
So, you know, if basically the whole 90s LAN party scene.
Yeah. No, I mean, they showed Doom. They showed, what was it? Jill of the Jungle was one of the other ones they showed.
Mm-hmm.
Commander Keen 4 was another one.
Yeah.
If you look at games in that era, mm-hmm. There's a lot of very good choices that they could put in. You know, like Tyrion 2000 was another great yeah. one. If you like,
I wouldn't be surprised if we end up seeing like Quake in there too.
Yeah,
Quake
might be in there.
The original, maybe the original Unreal. That'd be good.
Yeah, they'd have to do something for the Windows emulator because that's a Windows game.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's all doable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like this. I want this. Hopefully it actually comes out.
Yeah.
And now let's get to what's probably going to be, well, the most meaty discussion that we got on the show today, which is the nominees for the 2018 Game Awards have been announced.
All right, let's take a look. What have we got here?
Yeah, so let's start off here with Game of the Year. Might as well just, since it's the first one here.
Mm-hmm.
So the nominations are Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Celeste,
uh-huh. yep.
God of War,
uh-huh.
Marvel Spider-Man,
yep.
Monster Hunter World,
uh-huh.
and Red Dead Redemption 2.
It's the winner.
It will probably be the winner. Assassin's Creed Odyssey, it will probably lose because of that middle part of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like an odd one to have in there.
Yeah.
Like that, maybe Celeste. Like if I had an indie game I would put up on this list, that probably would not have been it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of what I would have.
Yeah, we'll get there later. God of War, yeah. I don't have a problem with that being on there, because that's yeah. a fantastic game.
Yeah, same, it's legit Spider-Man. Good.
Yeah. Monster Hunter World, I'm glad that it got the nod for the nomination, mm-hmm. but yeah. I'm not sure if I would have put it on there. Of these, I probably myself would have voted for God of War. So,
yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. I think it'd be God of War or Spider-Man for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, there's that. Action game.
All right.
Call of Duty Black Ops 4. Yeah, okay.
Weirdly enough, that game actually managed to do really well in spite of itself because because they realized that they weren't going to have like an actual campaign, they just sort of took to like the actual modes they had and just went all out with the craziness, and it actually worked.
Yeah. Well, my thing about that whole not having a campaign mode is I think they kind of wanted to do this to mm-hmm. to begin with. I don't think it was a matter of them running out of time, because if you can't figure out how to do a campaign mode in 3 years of development, yeah. you're doing something wrong. So they just doubled down on the whole multiplayer aspect of it, and I guess
and
it's working.
Basically, well, kind of inadvertently created sources for future Call of Duty campaigns.
Basically.
Because some of them, like the Vampire Hunter one in particular, is pretty much a game in and of itself.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, I've heard good things about it, apart from the whole, you know, microtransactions that just showed up and are pretty egregious.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's that. Dead Cells, which is an interesting one to nominate, but yeah. it's a good game.
It works pretty well.
Yeah. We got here Destiny 2 Forsaken. Well, Chris plays this, so he knows if it's actually pretty good or not.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he's wrong.
Fight me. No. Yeah, so that's there. Far Cry 5, I didn't expect to see that one on this list.
No, it was actually all right.
It's weird how action game and awards has morphed into here's where all the shooters and maybe action games or whatever that doesn't fit anywhere else.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Because it's like we got three shooters here, and Destiny 2, I would say, is the most action-y of all these.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Far Cry 5 is just kind of like an open world game.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, call it two of them are multiplayer, one's a single player. Mega Man 11, that's another single player type game.
Yeah.
Apparently, actually pretty damn good.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's really good. It's hard as balls, but it's good.
Yeah, well, at least they remember what made Mega Man great. So
Yeah,
they've gone back to that. I think if I have to vote on it, I probably will pick Mega Man 11. Just
this one's kind of a toss-up for me. Like, I have no idea how this one's going to come out.
Yeah, like, I would even put Spider-Man and God of War on this, but I guess they're considered action-adventure.
Yeah. Because
mm-hmm. it's like both of them, you're doing tons of action.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Those are more closer to, like, your Batmans and your the old God of War games.
So, what else we got here? I guess in the next category, this is the action-adventure category.
Mm-hmm.
This is where all of those other games have shown up. Assassin's Creed Odyssey, another nomination there. God of War, another nomination. Spider-Man, another nomination. Red Dead Redemption 2, another nomination. And Shadow of the Tomb Raider. Those, Shadow of the Tomb Raider actually surprises me to see there.
Yeah, because the game kind of went...
poof.
Yeah.
Yeah, was not as well received by pretty much everybody at this point.
Yep.
It's not that it's bad, it's just, it's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's fine, and it came at a time where there were tons of other great games.
Yeah.
That completely overshadowed it.
Yeah.
Again, I'm going to give it to Red Dead. That one's, I am absolutely predicting that anything Red Dead shows up in is going to completely... is going to completely wipe out anything it has in competition.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would probably put God of War on this one.
Yeah.
Because I think it just works so well, especially the way you are sort of allowed to explore. It's not like an open world game, but it's kind of a linear open world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where you've got paths that go around, kind of like maybe like a Dark Souls-ish.
Yeah.
I think where it's not actually open world, but there are a variety of paths around.
Yeah.
And they lead to some really cool stuff.
Yeah, I think if I were voting on this one, it would be a very tough choice for me because I'd want to vote for both Spider-Man and God of War, and I could only vote for one, so I guess I'm gonna probably give this one to Spider-Man.
All right.
So we have a God of War, a Spider-Man, and a Red Dead. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's how that voting is going to go. Trust me. Best RPG, and let me tell you, this year we were spoiled for RPGs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We had some really good choices this year. Dragon Quest XI. No surprise there. Monster Hunter World. I guess action RPG. Yeah, it qualifies.
Yeah.
Ni No Kuni 2,
yeah,
was pretty legit good.
Yeah.
Octopath Traveler.
Which we all adored, so.
Yeah, I didn't play it, but I still adore it.
Yeah.
And then Pillars of Eternity 2, Deadfire. I don't think there's, I think everybody here would probably vote for Octopath Traveler.
Yeah, pretty much.
I think I would go Dragon Quest XI.
Really?
I have not played Octopath, so I can't really vouch for it.
Oh.
But I played a good bit of Dragon Quest XI, and that game is delight.
Yeah. If you like the traditional JRPGs, Octopath is stellar. So,
yeah.
You have to try that. Let's see what we got here. Best Game Direction. A Way Out is nominated. Detroit Become Human, God of War, Marvel Spider-Man, and Red Dead Redemption 2.
It's toss-up between God of War and Red Dead.
Yeah, as far as
I would definitely say God of War because, you know, they found a way to evolve the lore and the gameplay of God of War to be something that's more relevant without necessarily being like, oh, we just did, you know, God of War 4.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just did another one of those. We did something that's interesting, that plays really well and has an actual story that you care about in a way that you would have never expected.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's hard because the direction of all of these games is actually really good.
Oh, yeah. A Way Out. Well, of course, A Way Out was directed by an actual film director, so.
A very enthusiastic one, mm-hmm. Joseph Ferris.
Yep.
So, I think here I would probably go with Red Dead 2 because it's the one that seems most coherent to me.
Mm-hmm.
Even though God of War is fantastic, there were a couple of rough edges here and there that just kind of went, huh?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for the most part, yeah, a lot of strong games in this category.
Yep.
And then let's see, best narrative, which is an interesting category to have. Detroit Become Human. No.
No.
So.
No.
Yeah. It had a narrative. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
Let's see. Next, we got God of War. Life is Strange 2, Episode 1.
Yeah, that's a weird inclusion. Like, here's the first episode of this season of adventure games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm guessing they went that way because it's the only one that's out right now.
Yeah,
I would have opted just not to have it. Yeah. Like, have a complete thing and be complete. Like, all right, Life is Strange 2, that we can vote for that.
Yeah. And then there's, what do we got here? Spider-Man, of course. Mm-hmm.
That one's really good.
And Red Dead 2. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, Red Dead, and this one I have no I'm not afraid to say that, because Red Dead Redemption 2's direction is Hollywood stellar.
Yeah, well, this is for narrative, so story-wise, we don't know. Well, I haven't played Red Dead
2. I do, so yeah, it's definitely going to be Red Dead for me.
Yeah, so it's Red Dead. Yeah, this one I would probably give to God of War because that story was amazing.
Yeah, I would actually probably go Spider-Man on this.
Yeah.
So I think it's really well done, and like the whole Spider-Man thing is, you know it. Like he's like in his 20s, and he has a really hard time balancing his work life and his superhero life and his romantic life.
Yeah.
And just kind of struggles being the guy who wants to do everything.
Yeah.
But ultimately can't do as much as he wants.
Yeah.
As he feels he needs to, and really struggles with that over the course of this game. And that's a really unique story compared to these others where it's just like, here's this big dude that can beat the shit out of people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he's really fucking good at that. He has a soft side because he has a son.
Yep.
True. Yeah.
And then there's this cowboy guy who tries to act like he's a tough guy.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately tries to appeal to his sense of humanity.
Yeah.
And it's like, ah.
It's a toss-up because, I think we're getting different answers here because we all have different preferences on the kinds of stories we like. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So let's toss up there. So best ongoing game. This one is for games that continue to evolve. They're typically multiplayer.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So we'll go here. Destiny 2 Forsaken. That's a pretty solid choice to have in there. Fortnite, that's pretty solid.
Yeah.
No Man's Sky. What?
Yeah.
It has been
a huge update.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, here's four-player multiplayer.
Yeah.
And they just announced... They just put out an update about a month ago that added underwater biomes and bases, vehicles and such you can do.
Sweet.
So, yeah.
So it continues to evolve. Yeah. And then Overwatch, that game continues to evolve. Probably a little bit at a slower pace than most of these.
It's like you get a new map here and there and a new character. It doesn't evolve as much as I think these other games do.
Yeah.
It's like, here's a new bit of lore and character you can obsess about.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then on the fifth one is Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege, which is a very, it's a seasonal multiplayer game. They got they do that.
And ironically, they're angering their base right now with the Chinese censorship.
Mm-hmm.
That they're trying to appeal more to the Chinese laws they have over that stuff.
Yeah.
So they're getting rid of gambling references and skeletons and such.
Jeez. Yeah, that's a great way to basically like lose your fan base.
Especially as China is pushing away from games.
The party decided that young folk were playing too much of them darn video games. So
That's going to be interesting because the mobile market in China is huge. They crack down on that, all of a sudden a very large revenue stream goes away for a lot of companies.
And there's a lot of very pissed off young people.
That's why Tencent has had their stock drop a lot lately.
Yeah.
It's like they're the Chinese publisher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's I'm guessing if I'm going to vote for this one, I think I'd give this one to Fortnite.
Yeah, to me it's a toss up between that and Overwatch.
I think for me it would be No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
Like they have continued to keep supporting this. They got it on Xbox One. And it's a game that just continues to keep growing and growing the way that they said they would do 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And they've kept their word the entire time.
Yeah. So.
Especially in the face of people's anger. Sometimes misguided at times, but.
There was a lot of controversy of, the fact that there were a whole, lot of actual freaking lies being told.
But also, people went overboard with harassment and stalking of the devs.
That's what people do.
Voice your disappointment. Don't take it out on the people physically, especially.
Yeah. So let's go to the next category, which is best art direction. And it's really difficult. This is a difficult category.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So we start off with Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Hang off of dicks on statues.
Yeah, yep, you can do that.
That's certainly an art direction.
that's a thing for sure. You got God of War.
Okay.
So no surprise there. The art direction of that is good. Octopath Traveler, which has a fantastic style. Red Dead 2 and Return of the Obra Dinn, which is a surprising one to see on there.
And that. I think that's the one that takes it for me.
Yeah, I think I
would give it to that one. It
looks amazing.
Yeah, I concur. It is an amazing looking game.
Yeah, very much. And you can tell that's the guy that did Papers, Please, because that game also had a very good art style. Very much also being kind of a bureaucratic simulator where you had your desk you had to keep organized to keep all the information as available to you as you could.
So that's weird. The first one that we actually agree on, all three of us. So that's pretty awesome. Then let's see, best score or music. Very tough one. So that's to heads us up. God of War. Then let's see, Marvel Spider-Man, Ni No Kuni 2, Octopath Traveler, and Red Dead Redemption 2. And yeah, you would be hard-pressed to really pick a winner out of all of these because they're all incredibly solid.
Yeah, I think I would go with God of War.
I'd go with Octopath.
I think very much from when we saw that E3 presentation where they were playing some of the game. You had the orchestra playing alongside it.
Yeah.
It's like, that's just some damn good music.
Yep. So, yeah, God of War. I think I would probably give this one to Octopath Traveler just because I'm a fan of JRPGs. Bias in journalism, folks.
But it was a legit amazing soundtrack. So
So anyway, so next up, sticking with audio, best audio design. This is for more sound effects and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Call of Duty Black Ops 4. Forza Horizon 4. God of War, Marvel Spider-Man, and Red Dead Redemption 2. We're saying a lot of the same games over and over.
Yeah.
It doesn't help that this they probably all voted on this stuff, you know, a couple months ago.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, we know enough about these, and there are some that, like, I would put Hitman 2 as the top of this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Audio design, because that game is amazing at it, especially when you're about to knock somebody out. They just go, hey, what do you think, dude? They get knocked out, and you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
There's just the way you can just
detail.
Eavesdrop on people, learn stories, or just hear people say weird shit.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, on this list, I don't know where I would go.
Yeah, I think on this list I would actually pick Red Dead 2.
Yeah,
because from what I've heard of the audio design in here, just the atmosphere that this game conveys is amazing.
Yeah,
so,
it is legit. Yeah. You can hear the wind through the trees and everything. It's very it's indescribable.
yeah. So get that. Next up, we'll go to Best Independent Game. And, Celeste, another nomination for that. Dead Cells, Into the Breach, Return of the Obra Dinn, and The Messenger.
I'm going with Obra Dinn.
Yeah, I think just purely on, you know, what interesting things it's doing, that game definitely takes the cake amongst all these.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where it's like, here's another platformer.
Here's Metroidvania.
Here's a strategy game. I think Into the Breach is probably number two for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because that game is a strategy RPG that really puts the information in your hands, makes it easy to understand like what's going to happen on that next turn, and really makes it out to be kind of like a game of chess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're like, okay, this guy is going to move over here next turn. So I can move my guy over here and get the jump on him and do this attack and take him out and save this village or whatever. But yeah, Return of the Obra Dinn is just amazing, amazing idea that's executed almost perfectly.
Yeah.
So, I think I'm giving it to that as well. let's see. Move on to the next category, Best Performance. Let's see. Who do we have here? Brian Deschart as Connor from Detroit Become Human.
No.
We're just like shunning Detroit, aren't we?
Yeah.
Let's see. Christopher Judge as Kratos, God of War.
Yeah, all right. And, I can give that.
Melisandre Mahout as Cassandra from Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Hopefully I didn't butcher her name too badly.
She did pretty good.
Yeah.
Let's see what we got. Roger Clark as Arthur Morgan from
He's the winner.
And Yuri Lowenthal as Peter Parker from Spider-Man.
Yeah, I put this between Christopher Judge and Roger Clark, mostly because Christopher Judge managed to take a character that was, let's face it, he was basically just unbelievably flat and two-dimensional when he originally premiered, and actually gave him some soul.
Yeah, and very much his like
emotion.
Yeah,
is a guy who has kind of hardened himself off from the rest of the world and from his emotions as a result of the bad things he's seen and done.
Yeah.
Kind of slowly unfurls that as he goes.
Yeah. And with Roger Clark as Arthur Morgan, I mean, that's Oscar-worthy shit. It's legit that good.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I would give this one to Christopher Judge just for the kind of role that he pulled off here.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would go with Kratos, Christopher Judge.
Yeah.
And to be fair, none of these performances were bad.
No.
You know, even Brian Deschert there for as Connor in Detroit Become Human, as much of a clusterfuck as that game was, his performance actually was very good. So.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Moving on to Games for Impact. An interesting category to have on here. It makes sense. 1111, Memories Retold.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't play.
I know that's World War
One.
Two?
Yeah.
One?
Yeah, World War One.
Okay.
Yeah. Celeste. Florence. Yep. Mm-hmm. Life is Strange 2.
Yep.
And The Missing.
Yeah, I have the same reservations that I said earlier about Life is Strange 2 being on here. Because it's not out. You don't know all of what it's advocating for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's obvious part of it.
Yeah.
It's obvious what part of it is.
Because
there's very much like a Trump or guy that you're kind of running into. But other than that, it's like it's still not telling its whole story.
Right.
I don't think it's fair to have it here and like potentially not have it for next year.
Yeah.
That there's the same result. I think I would probably go with The Missing here, just from everything I've heard. The way it handles transgender people and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard a lot about how well it does that stuff.
Yeah.
Which would be really surprising coming from Swery, a Swery game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where you're like, I didn't know this guy could be that that thoughtful, I guess, about that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if I have to pick a winner on this one, I would probably go with Florence. Because it's telling a story that is, in, for a lot of people, very personal and very timely. So, yeah, I would probably go with that one. All right, so let's get to next category, Best Mobile Game. Won't spend too much time here because, Donut County. That game is ridiculous.
And we say we mean that in a good way.
Yes. Just play it. It's beyond stupid and awesome. Let's say we got Florence again. Talked about Fortnite. I have to say this correctly. PUBG Mobile!
Yeah.
Because it's yelling. And then finally, Reigns Game of Thrones.
Yep. It's gonna be Fortnite.
Yeah, it's gonna be Fortnite, isn't it?
Yeah, I would I would go for Donut County, even though I didn't play the specific version of it.
Yeah.
But that game is still a delight, and it's very, very funny.
Okay, so the next category, Best VR AR Game.
You know, none of these are AR.
Yeah, none of them are. So, Astrobot Rescue Mission. Yeah, you really enjoyed this one. Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beat Saber has been getting a lot of love this year.
And it's out on Tuesday for PSVR.
And then we got Firewall 0 Hour, which I've heard is very good.
Yeah.
And actual people playing it, which is remarkable. And then Moss.
That's
that game. That game is really nice.
Good. And Tetris Effect. And I no surprise on which one I'm voting for here.
Pretty much. I really can't decide because all of these are pretty much are worthy for this award.
Yeah, there's three of these that I would say are legit amazing. It's Astrobot, Moss, and Tetris Effect. And doing things that you would not have expected to be so good. I would probably go Astrobot Rescue Mission, just being a really good example of how good platformers can be in VR.
Yeah.
And really surprising you with the things it can do to make that work so well.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to go with Tetris Effect. Brandon, I think he's going Tetris Effect.
And yeah.
And Astrobot. So, solid games overall. Next category, Best Fighting Game. To be honest, we didn't get very many fighting games this year. And all of them are nominated. So, BlazBlue Cross Tag Battle. It's good to see that one nominated because it's legit good. Dragon Ball FighterZ. Then we got Soul Calibur 6 and Street Fighter 5 Arcade, which you forget actually did come out this year. I think I'm giving this one to Dragon Ball FighterZ. That's probably the one that's going to win. The one I would like to win is Soul Calibur 6, but okay.
I would probably go for Dragon Ball FighterZ.
I'm going to say the same thing.
Because there have been good Dragon Ball Fighter games. But then this put it on a legit tier. Fighting game that you never expected.
This one's actually most Dragon Ball fighting games have been good. Some Dragon Ball fighting games have been good. This one is genuinely great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it took Arc System Works to do it.
Yeah.
Just saying. So the next category we have here is Best Family Game. And surprisingly, yeah, there's a lot of good games in this category. Well, five of them. Let's see, we got Mario Tennis Aces, Nintendo Labo, which I wouldn't really classify as a game, but okay. I guess they had to stick it somewhere. Overcooked 2, Starlink, Battle for Atlas, and Super Mario Party.
I would probably go, let's see, Overcooked 2 is a game for people that want to hate their families. It's for parents that want to show how disappointed they are in their kids. I'd probably actually pick that because that's the perfect kind of family game. Let you just give shit to the people around you.
Well, that would also apply to Super Mario Party, to be honest.
Yeah, but then you can blame that on the game.
Overcooked 2, yeah, you can deliberately sabotage them, so
Yeah. Be like, no, you just suck at this game. What the fuck is wrong with you? Why do you even have you?
It's weird to see Starlink on here because it's okay, it's family friendly, but it's a space shooter, so
I don't know that there's like co-op in it.
yeah. So that's a strange one. It's probably one of those things where, well, yeah, we want to nominate this, but where do we put it? Well, Starlink has Star Fox in it, so let's put it there.
Okay, it does have two player.
Okay, well, let's go. Now the sports racing category, because you have to combine those now. So FIFA 19, Forza Horizon 4, Mario Tennis Aces, NBA 2K19, and Pro Evolution Soccer 2019. NHL 19 did not get a nomination, so Pat would be very upset by this.
I would put MLB The Show on here as well. And like NBA 2K19 should not be on here. I'd probably say Forza shouldn't be on here either.
Yeah, a lot of people are not digging Forza.
I'd say based on what's here, probably FIFA. I've heard some good things about that.
I think I'd go Mario Tennis Aces, honestly. If I had to pick one, that's the one I would go with.
I think for me, I just hold a grudge because it doesn't have an RPG mode.
Yeah, they removed that for some reason. Then we have the best multiplayer game category. Call of Duty Black Ops 4, Destiny 2 Forsaken, Fortnite, Monster Hunter World, and Sea of Thieves. One of these games should not be here. And it ain't Fortnite. I think of these, I would probably pick Fortnite.
Fortnite.
I'd probably go Destiny 2 Forsaken. Because I think I just the new Gambit mode is a really cool style of mode that is very much brings more PvE stuff to the kind of PvP style multiplayer and just does a really cool twist on all that stuff. I think really sets it apart from these others where it's like, yeah, Black Ops 4 is doing the Fortnite thing. Along with the other stuff you expect from Call of Duty. And Monster Hunter World is pretty neat as like a co-op thing. But also I don't really do much co-op in that game. And Sea of Thieves is just a bully simulator.
See if this is great if you hate yourself, but okay, this is best student game, so this is a category that's probably not going to be up most of our alleys because I don't think any of us have played any of these. No idea, but Combat 2018, Dash Quasar, Jera, Lif, and RE Charge. I have no idea.
I assume they probably have links on the Game Awards site for this stuff.
Probably. Okay, so best debut indie game, Donut County, Florence, Moss, The Messenger, and Yoku's Island Express.
Pretty much any of those first four would work.
I'd actually probably go. I'd probably go Yoku's Island Express. I think very much as like a an idea that you would not ever expect to work. And that's like a great way to surprise people, is like, oh, a pinball Metroid style game.
Yeah.
Somehow that works really well.
Yeah.
In a way that you wouldn't expect. It's like, all right, yeah. Now I want more of this.
Yeah, because pinball style games, you know, they tried like Rollers of the Realm, which yeah. I did not feel that game at all.
Yeah, that was all right.
Yeah, so I guess
it's like lots of people tried to make like it's pinball, but not pinball.
Yeah, yeah,
these RPGs guys did it well. And stuff like yeah. that, but this one it works really well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Next category: best esports game. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
CSGO, yeah, that's okay. Dota 2 is in there. Fortnite, of course, it's in there. Mm-hmm. League of Legends and Overwatch.
Overwatch. I have a feeling Fortnite will win, but Overwatch.
Yeah, well, I can say that me personally, which one I actually enjoy watching most is Fortnite.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I think the whole Battle Royale formula works well as a spectator.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah. I would, just personally, I would put Rocket League on here.
Yeah.
Throw out something. I don't know.
Well, CSGO I probably would throw out because that game's old.
Yeah,
you know,
but people still play that.
Yeah, but Counter-Strike, I mean, that game is immortal. It will never die.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really weird because, like, Rocket League, I think, works really well as far as, like, a team sport, as well as one that you can more easily follow than some of these. Just even on your first attempt to watch it. Like, I think it's a lot easier to watch because it's an actual sports game.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. Get the ball in the goal. It's not hard to understand.
Yeah, and that's what some of these have trouble dragging in the normal people.
Yeah.
Like League and Dota 2, especially.
Yeah. Yeah, Dota 2 and League, they have a lot of explaining to do just to understand, like, the whole main concept of the game. So
if
you're just jumping into it, it's, difficult.
Yeah, I would probably have to go Overwatch then, because that's the thing I've seen people be really excited about. Mm-hmm. They're also doing the sports thing with that, having specific teams and players.
Yeah, actual local teams, which is really cool.
Yeah, as I'm looking at the Steam list, CSGO is the top game on Steam right now.
Yeah. Not surprising.
Yeah, Counter-Strike, Dota 2, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds.
Yeah.
Then Ark.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, the next category, I'm not even going to hazard a guess on.
We could probably skip these next few.
Yeah, these are mostly esports stuff. And
esports player, team, coach, and event.
And I'm going to be completely honest, I don't give a shit about esports at all.
Yeah, I don't think we watch enough of these to the degree that we would know any of these.
Yeah, players. Some of this, and then also content.
Sonic Fox, you might know.
Yeah, you might know him, but
yeah, he's the guy in the fursuit.
Yeah.
He's winning all the weird fighting tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's also very loud, as Pat mentioned.
Yeah.
Content creator of the year. I can't really... I haven't watched any of these people, so I can't hazard a guess. Let's see.
It's basically the award for who you think is going to be a Nazi soon enough.
Pretty much.
Well, I won't hazard a guess, so I don't taint
I imagine Ninja wins this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because he's the one that's getting on, like, late-night talk shows and all that.
Yeah. Let's see here. Favorite moments of 2017? Okay.
It's just, like, what do you like best about our last show?
Yeah.
Let's see here. Orchestra, no. Hideo Kojima, no. Joseph Fair is drunk. Yes, that's definitely.
Yes, there's the winner right there.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, so,
Joseph Fair is just blasted off of his ass and telling EA to go fuck themselves. That's just.
Yeah. Well, he technically didn't, but he kind of did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, and that's the nominations, and it's a pretty solid list. A lot of the games that you expected to be on there are. Some of the ones you didn't expect are. I'm actually looking forward to this show, because last year's was good, and I'm expecting this year to be pretty much even better.
So, yeah.
It's weird that we now have a game awards show that's actually kind of legit.
Yeah, so. And not just cringy Mountain Dew Dorito bullshit.
Yeah, like it used to be. Yeah, so. And finally, to wrap up the show for today, we're going to run through the top three Black Friday gaming deals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you're, you know, looking for consoles or games, these are probably your best bet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So let's see here.
So the first one here is pretty obvious. We talked a bit about it on last weekend. It's the $200 PS4 Slim Spider-Man bundle. Mm. It's going to be at pretty much all the retailers. And, yeah, if you don't have a PS4 at all, this is a really good place to jump on. It's the best of any of the bundles that the bundles that these platform holders have had that are showing here that I'm looking at. Because, like, all the Switch ones are just full price.
Yeah.
They throw in, like, Mario Kart 8s. At best, and it's like, yeah, that's pretty good, but also you're still paying full price.
Yeah.
You know, this you're getting $100 off plus one of the best games of the year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that definitely counts for something.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've heard people having long lines at GameStop trying to get that. Because they just started offering some of their stuff today.
Mm-hmm. Oof.
And yeah.
Yeah, so that one's good.
Yep. Also put on here the PSVR bundles that are available for either $200 with the Astrobot and Moss, both great games. If you already have Move controllers, I definitely recommend that. Nice. If you don't, I definitely recommend the $249 bundle with Creed and Superhot VR.
Okay.
Because that'll get you everything you need to experience pretty much anything that's on PSVR.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's... And then the Astrobot Moss will be on sale individually.
Yeah.
So you can just get that the other way. So, yeah. I definitely see a lot of people are like, yeah, this is the time I'm going to get on with this, whether it's Astrobot or Tetris or, you know, Moss, like that sort of stuff. Like, now's the time to jump on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's especially compelling now that, you know, people keep saying VR is dead, but no, it
like, there are no games, and it's like, no, there's tons of games.
There's a shit ton of games, and a lot of them are really good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's only the people that, you know, always, like, I just want to veg out or whatever, and it's like, yeah, that's fine. That's going to be the standard for a long time. VR is just going to come here and be a really good side thing that you can have alongside that.
Yeah. I'll say one thing. Plex in VR is pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, give that a try.
Yeah.
If you ever have a chance.
Yep. I'm trying to look at what the VR stuff is on sale digitally.
Mm-hmm.
Not a ton. Like Doom VFR, Skyrim VR, Firewall Zero Hours, $30.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the top game I put on here is... God of War, which is $25 at pretty much all the retailers.
Mm-hmm.
Which for a game that people are saying is, you know, very much a Game of the Year contender. That came out, what, in April?
Mm.
Yeah.
About seven months ago. It's $25 now. It's like, what the fuck? Go buy it if you haven't yet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a great game. It's not full of microtransactions and DLC. It's, you know, it's a really solid single-player game. You know, mm-hmm. that's what you're looking for. You can't really do too much better this year.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. And there's just tons of really good games that are on sale. A lot of them are half off. Yeah. You can find a lot of stuff for, you know, $30. Stuff that's recent, too.
Yeah.
And, yeah. It's basically, you know, what did I miss out on this year is probably on sale,
mm-hmm.
unless it's Nintendo.
Yeah, because they never put things on sale.
Yeah, I was looking at the list here, and, like, Octopath Traveler is not on that, so I was like, oh, damn it. Because that would be, like, the one Nintendo game that I would check out.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, it's Square Enix, though, and that's...
Yeah, but Nintendo published it.
Yeah.
So they have the reins on that stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think we're going to wrap it up there. A bit of an unusual show for the week, but, hey, we managed to get through it. Check us out at smashpad.com. You could read my Tetris Effect review. Spoiler, I liked it. So if you're not subscribed to the show, you can check us out on iTunes, Google Play, or your favorite podcast aggregator. So for Brandon Perkins and Chris Sologi, I'd like to say we'll see you next week.
Update complete.